Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 46, for June 29th, 2007. iDay. It's time for MacBreak Weekly, episode 46, the moment that Scott Bourne has been waiting for his entire adult life, and I think even some of his childhood, has finally arrived. Scott, are you... He's no longer an iPhone virgin, ladies and gentlemen. He's holding it in his hands. Put it down and take up the iPhone now, and let's... What do you think?
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so Alex, I just want to say... I have an iPhone. Alex Lindsay is here from Pixelport.
I have an iPhone.
He has an iPhone. Scott Bourne is here from AppleFoneShow.com. He has an iPhone. Merlin Mann is here from 43folders.com and The Merlin Mann Show. He does not have a phone.
No, but he did a great segment on that about the iPhone.
He will now be representing the holdout.
Curmudgeon.
Yeah, not necessarily curmudgeon, just the holdout. And there are quite a few holdouts. I think a lot of people, in fact, it was my advice to anybody who isn't a fanatic, a lot of people did hold out. Say, wait for Generation 2. Is that what you're waiting for?
Well, I think, yeah, exactly. The Apple's, well, maybe this is, I don't know if this is the real story tonight, but the, yeah, in my experience with Apple stuff, if you can wait for a 2 or even a 1.1, it's a good idea to hold on. So, yeah, I'm going to wait a little bit. It looks fantastic. I saw one on Muni coming home tonight, and it looked terrific. A guy was showing it off. It looks fantastic, but yeah, I'm going to wait, but I want to hear what you guys say. You guys, you're the ones with the phones in your hand. What do you guys think?
If Scott has stopped giggling, maybe we can ask him.
Well, actually, I haven't been able, I just got home a few minutes before we did the show, and I didn't want to start the activation.
We should say, yeah, we're taping this at 8 p.m. Pacific time, 2 hours after the stores opened.
Yeah, but I do have it in my hand. I've read through the manual. I've played with all the accoutrements. I got my jawbone ready to go. I just, after we're done, I'm going to actually fire the puppy up. But I did get to see, several people play with theirs today. I got to handle them. And I have to say that my initial impressions are that the things I was concerned about, i.e. a cell phone that worked and the ability to sync, have been dealt with.
It syncs beautifully.
Yes.
And the phone works, because I can vouch for that, because I've actually received a call now from Alex, of all people.
I wanted to be the first call.
You were.
I wanted to be the first.
I think I'm the only one with a working one.
I think you are.
You're still setting yours up, Alex?
No, evidently, every time I buy a new cell phone, my tradition has always been that I just get a new number. A new cell phone means a new number. It means I get rid of all the old people who know what my number is. That I
love
don't
that. I love that about a new cell phone.
and it was just, I have a good number. I'm not going to say it on the air, but I have a good number right now, and I was reticent to give it up.
It's hot bud, isn't it? 415 hot bud.
Hot bud. Yeah.
Well, there was that. You know, it was that. That's what it was. And so now you know what it is. And it was a good number.
Now all these people are going to call 415 hot bud.
Yeah, whoever that is.
Let me try it.
And I'll be waiting on the other end.
Let me try it. 1995 and all the loving you could take.
So I think I found a bug in the process, which is the issue is that if it says that when you're registering, that if you have if you haven't been finalized, if the registration hasn't been finalized, what it says it'll do is it says you can go ahead and use all the other features of your iPhone while you're waiting for activation. But the truth of the matter is you really can't. You have to wait until the activation finishes, which may take hopefully sometime this weekend.
You guys were in line at the San Francisco Apple store, which is really kind of, except for the one in Cupertino, really kind of is, and maybe the one in New York City, it's kind of Apple central.
It was surreal. Scott,
how many people were there?
Yeah, it was close to a circus. It was close to,
I've never seen anything like it.
I mean, there were people watching the people. There was the line of people that wanted to get into the store. Then there was a line of people who wanted to photograph the line of people getting into the store. Then there was the line of people taking pictures of everybody.
There was no, I don't think there was any less than 1,000 people like in the vicinity.
Wow.
of what was going on. It was,
and the whole time there was like 12 people in line at the AT&T store a block away.
Yeah.
Well, I went to an AT&T store. There were about 60, 70 people there by the time the doors opened. And by the way, I wasn't there at the end, but I think that they were sold out, which is unlike the Apple stores. In fact, I'm looking at the Apple store locator right now, and it looks like every single Apple store in the country still has iPhones to sell tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
It definitely seemed like there was plenty at the Apple stores.
How did it go once they opened the doors?
Very quickly.
Yeah.
It was shocking. It was shocking, Leo. We were about 70 people back.
Yeah, you were almost at O'Farrell Street. You were pretty far back.
Yeah, we had paid waiters that got there at about 6 a.m. and there was already 70 people ahead of them.
Wow.
And then, but I swear, once the doors open, it was like butter, like a knife through butter.
I heard they were doing 50 at a time. Is that right?
It was. Yeah. I can tell you by 6:20, Greg and I were at the parking garage.
Wow.
Yeah. So we had the phones. We'd paid for them. Greg was giving me a ride home at 6:20. It was one of the most brilliantly executed things I have ever seen. Those guys know what they're doing. They just moved massive people through there. And my hat's off to them because they brought out water. They were communicative. They had Starbucks bring around refreshments. The whole thing was handled really well, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say the same thing at the AT&T store. It was a little slower because I think AT&T was doing more validation. But it went fairly quickly and easily. And I left about, it took about, they were letting 10 at a time. And this is a small store. But the people were well-trained. They were knowledgeable. I'll tell you, the big decision for me, I don't know if you guys faced this, was which case to get.
You know, I didn't get one. I was...
Well, good, because I got three. I couldn't decide. So you can come over and look at the...
All right. I'll talk to you. I'm good at actually using at Leo's hand-me-downs, you know, because I really like the jacket that I got.
Well, that was a Twit jacket.
No, yeah, and I used it in Africa.
We have new hoodies just came in. You're going to love these new hoodies.
There we go.
But let's not get into that. This is the iPhone show. Although it has a pocket for the iPhone. Made just for the iPhone. And you can run your wires through it. So I got the rubber case, the plastic case, and the leather case.
Now, do any of these cases have something that covers the glass, Leo?
None of them.
That's good, because it wouldn't work.
I can tell you right now, I'm fingerprint all heavy on the glass. It doesn't take long. But it comes with a nice little cloth suitable for rubbing.
I thought that was interesting. You know, with most of the new Apple products, you always expect to get some kind of funky little thing where you go, oh, they really thought about this. And that was the little cloth. That was cute.
Comes with a dock, a nice little heavy dock.
Yeah.
Which is good because I have a standard dock and it wobbles if it goes in there. Although the connector is the same, we should point out, so many of your accessories will work.
And following Apple's pattern, most likely the dock will only be available for the first 2 weeks, and then after that, you're on your own. You'll just get a cable.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. They'll take it out.
A lot of times you get all this cool stuff on the very first ones, and then after that, they're like, we don't really need it.
They did that with the iPod, didn't they?
Yeah.
What's that? Is that a phone?
That was a...
kind of like a trio.
Kendra. So Kendra got her phone. Kendra from MacBreak got her phone, and she just text messaged me, which I'm still getting on my.
Do you want to hear the ringtones?
Yeah, let's break them out, man.
Now, this is, of course, one of the complaints that some people had. I included. We can't install our own ringtones, although there seems to be the suspicion that Apple will be selling ringtones
any day.
This is the default. Is the marimba? Can you hear that? Where's it coming out of? I left it that. Here's an alarm. Not a good ring.
That's nasty.
Not a ring you'd like. Here's ascending. Making no sound. I guess it was... That's good. Dog barking. I like this. Where is it coming out? I can't tell.
It's magical.
There's no speaker.
It's coming through the screen somehow.
You know, I'm really glad they have this, actually. This is usually my favorite ring on most phones.
That's my favorite right there.
Yeah. Although you kind of look around for the dial phone. Here's sci-fi. You'll like this. This is a little theremin action. But, you know, kind of standard phone rings. But you know what? The marimba, the default is so nice.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stick with it. And that's going to be, for a while a status symbol, won't it?
Yes, it will.
I like vibrate.
You know, when
vibrate, by the way.
When you played the science fiction ring, it reminded me of something that happened while we were in line. John C. Dvorak walked up to me and said hi.
No.
So, yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah, he just got through doing a bash the iPhone segment for CNBC, and he came over and said hi. He agreed to be on my show so we could do a point counterpoint.
Did he what does he think? Did he bash it?
No, he said he kind of acted like he goes, well, I guess I've been labeled as the guy that they all want to hire to get on and bash. He kind of said it apologetically. So he was in what you would call a good mood for John Dvorak.
He's always in a good mood.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, I think you and he just hit it off poorly, and I'm sure you guys will get along later.
Well, he posed with a picture for me.
There you go. I don't think he's going to be eating crow. There's plenty to say about this phone. Oh, I don't like it. But the experience is as you would expect. It's beautiful. I mean, the zoom that you get when you open up these icons, it all works kind of as you'd expect it. I think it's a pretty nice phone. I'm looking at the calendar right now. It's quite beautiful.
The Apple site recently added, for those of us who don't have a phone in hand, I told you, I mentioned this to you, Leo, before the show, but apple.com/iPhone just added this thing they call fingertips, which is a couple of nice, just kind of like four or five nice little tutorials on how to do different things with your iPhone. And it looks like, again, a great, even though it's meant to be kind of, pedagogical, it's really interesting as another view of how the interface works. It looks just beautiful.
This actually comes with the phone. So
it's on the phone as well.
Yeah. It's not on the phone, but it comes as a piece of paper in the phone. It's actually a manual, and you need it because it's not obvious. Some of these little tips are not obvious.
And you can also download the manual now. It's a PDF available on the website.
Yes.
And by the way, Leo, we're going to have as a guest on the Apple phone show in a couple of weeks, the guy who made all those videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's one guy.
You have a podcast about the iPhone?
Thank you, Merlin.
Have you tried the RSS reader yet?
No, although I was sitting in line with a fellow, Chris Weatherall, who's a Google guy. I don't know what he was doing. You know him. I don't know what he's doing in my neck of the woods, but he's the Google Reader guy. He told me they were up till 3 a.m. last night making Google Reader work better with the iPhone.
Wow.
So I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, it's just cosmetic. We want it to look like the other iPhone apps.
Scramble is on. I mean, my friends over at Omni Group that I work with, disclosure, work with on the OmniFocus product, they just pushed out a new beta of that that will work. You can run it off of a port on your own machine.
Oh, really?
See it running on the iPhone.
So how do I test? You're saying I should test the RSS reader. You mean in Safari?
Yeah, there's a new, what is the address for this? They just added this the other day. They added a new iPhone-only RSS feed.
Who added
RSS
this?
Reader. Apple did.
And how do I get it?
It is at reader.mac.com.
All right. I have to say it's taken me a little while to get used to the keyboard.
It
is not immediately intuitive. That's what everybody said, in fact, that
you got to give it a couple of days,
give it a little
Leo.
While, yeah. You act as if you have one.
I'm not allowed to say.
reader.apple.mac.com?
That's right. And again, this was such a brilliant piece of Apple... Apple-alia, because
Merlin?
It is now. Okay. You go to this page, and it says this application is viewable only on the iPhone.
If you an RSS feed, just enter the URL directly.
I started to call this meta scarcity.
Wait a minute. Now, I just want to tell you something. It's a little bit of a bust. I've gone to reader.mac.com. It says if you'd like to view an RSS feed, just enter the feed URL directly into Safari's address bar. There is nothing there. It's just an error message.
Really?
Yeah. In other words, you don't have
to
have...
It's probably pretty easy to code.
You don't have to have... Yes, you don't have... HTML, baby. So let me add... Let's try a podcast feed. Do you think it would be smart enough to know to play the enclosure? See, that's the kind of thing it should do. We shall see. You guys talk amongst yourselves while I navigate this keyboard.
Well, I wanted to point out Merlin's position of waiting is one that's been echoed by a couple of my friends, and they played back to me what I said about Apple TV, which turned out to be a good move, I think, on my part. And I think I just wanted to say before we got into all the nitty-gritty, whether or not you were a fan of what they shipped today, I really do think this is important for the future, just like I said about the Apple TV, which I didn't buy, but I also thought it was important for the future. This is one of those things that, I mean, I think it's a game changer whether or not you like this phone or all the stuff on it. It certainly has raised the bar.
There's some really neat UI stuff in here that I would love to see more widely used.
That's what I liked about that.
That's why I mentioned that
little tutorial is all that WYSI Ajaxiness, whatever it is.
Well, for instance, if you're entering a URL or correcting a URL and you press your finger on the URL, a magnifying glass comes out so you can easily see where the insert caret is. It's little things like that. They're just kind of...
Actually, you can do that, Leo, anywhere you're typing.
I'm sure that's the case, yeah. And that's very cool.
I'm curious, Scott, so you've been looking forward to this for a really long time. Now that you've actually had a little bit of time to have it in your hand, what's surprising you in a good way the most? What's the thing that you saw that you didn't expect to be as cool as it is?
Merlin.
Oh, here it is. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah. If you go to a URL, then it loads Mac Reader. This is not the Safari traditional thing. You get a new reader. Oh, look at that. And let me just see the MP3. Yeah, it doesn't give you a player.
Doesn't do attachments.
No, we should do the player. That would be nice. Go ahead. What? Tell us a little bit about what.
I think it's the screen quality, really, Merlin, that surprised me the most. I just wasn't prepared for it to be so beautiful. I just, I didn't think about that part of it. And when
so you can watch a movie on this, and it's not like the squinty iPod video experience.
Well,
and
sitting right next to my iPhone on my laptop, I have my iPod, with video, and I'm looking at that going, how in the hell did I ever even think about watching a movie on that thing?
Yeah.
And I look at the screen, it's the size and the clarity and the color saturation of the screen that's what surprised me. I think I was prepared for everything else. I was not prepared for how pretty it is.
What about your pinching? You were very excited about the two-finger thing. How's that working out? Is that cool?
Well, that's easy.
Are you even using your phone? You haven't activated it yet.
Well, like I said, I can't talk about that.
I don't understand. Uh-huh. Do you have a phone that you're using?
I can talk about another phone that I use.
Leo, what you don't understand that Scott has reached a point in life where he's got the finances. He's actually been able to move into the future.
I don't understand what's going on here.
He's working on the 3.1.
The phone's out, Scott. You can now talk about it.
This particular phone in my hand, I have not activated.
You have another phone.
But he may or may not have touched another phone.
I have used another phone.
Well, why would you keep that a secret?
Because I don't want to get somebody in trouble.
Oh, I see. So you haven't... Okay, so... But how long did you have with that phone?
45 minutes.
Okay. All right. So you've used a phone before, in other words.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, which means you've had as much time as I have. Actually, I've been playing with it while we're talking. It's pretty...
And in 45 minutes, I confirmed, like I said, the things I cared about. It makes good calls, and it syncs well. And, I know that the Uber geeks want to do lots of stuff with it that's special that I don't particularly care about. But I probably will... start doing more of that kind of stuff because this makes it easier.
How many did you end up buying?
I got it. Well, if you physical phones, five and
physical
then,
phones as compared to what, like
as compared with
options, virtual, future phones?
As compared with gift cards equaling the value of the phone, another so many.
So tell me, Mr. Expert, then how do I tell the keyboard to go horizontal? Because it doesn't seem to pay any attention.
It only goes horizontal when you're in the web browser mode, unfortunately. This is a flaw in my opinion.
Yeah, because I tell you, it's a little small.
Yeah, when you're in web browser mode, then it will go horizontal for you, and then it really looks nice. And I'm thinking to myself, so why can't we just always do that?
Yeah,
but we can't. And yeah. The nice thing is, though, I mean, this isn't like some phone with a bunch of buttons that you're stuck with. It they can change that.
It's all that's software. I mean, there's some things they can't change. It's not going to all of a sudden have a GPS or stereo Bluetooth, but it could easily add software. I think, frankly, that they'll open this up after a little while. For instance, there's no chat application, and why should we have to wait for Apple to put a chat? Why can't we put Adium on this sucker?
Well, July 6th, 7th, and 8th is the first ever iPhone Developers Conference right here in San Francisco,
right.
And who knows what's going to come
unofficial,
out of that?
Unofficial, we should say.
It's a bar camp.
Yeah. No, I think this is a beautiful phone, I have to say, and I understand their desire to preserve the integrity of the experience, at least for a little while. And it does a lot of, I mean, the video is great. The YouTube is working. I'm on a Wi-Fi network right now, so the YouTube's working quite well.
Have you tried the Edge network, Leo?
I have not. I could turn off the Wi-Fi. You know, the Edge is faster. I was trying it today on my BlackBerry. And remember, you were talking about the press release that they put out that they were going to improve Edge. It is faster. I mean, it's still not.
It's still slow.
Yeah, it's still not super fast, but it's faster.
Andy Inaka was making the point that, you know, he has access to some 3G networks where he lives. And he said, you know, they're not always faster than Edge. He said, well, he often has to wait as long or longer on 3G. Where
yeah. Well, anybody who's used the Sprint card or the Verizon card knows that it's possible to have very, very snappy 3G cell access. And I do wish they had done that. But, you know, this is a first generation. I think we'll see. That would be one of the first things I think they'll fix.
Well, and Steve Jobs said in the Wall Street Journal interview yesterday that they're looking at that. I do want to correct a couple of misconceptions I've seen on the web. People are saying they can fix that in software, and they cannot. That's a chipset issue, and the reason they decided not to do it right now is because of weight and cost. And probably
it is
because
fairly hefty, I have to say. This is not a light phone.
No, and
which
and
is good. It feels solid. I mean, in a way, that's a positive.
And you know what? It is a little slippery.
I've dropped it three times.
I dropped it
out of the box, I dropped it.
Exactly. When I was taking the plastic off of it, I almost dropped it. And I thought, you know, the guy that wrote the review of the thing saying it was slippery, he must have actually really seen one because
it's,
it is.
It's slippery.
You do need a case. Trust me, you need a case.
Well, I got three of them. I got a rubber one, I got a plastic one, and I got a leather one. And, you know, that will make it not slippery. And I, frankly, am so nervous about dropping it because of the glass that I think that that's a case is a critical. It was interesting. As soon as you go in the store, while they're ordering this for you, you know, while they're setting you up, the AT&T guy said, now go over and pick a case while we wait for the computer. That was very well timed.
Yeah, in the Apple store, they were bringing them around and showing them to you. But
that's good.
You couldn't focus on them because your eyes were glazing over as you looked at the hundreds of iPhones in the back wall.
So just to run down the icons on the front, you've got SMS text, you've got a calendar, very much like iCal. Photos, I have to say, the pinch, the fingertip navigation is very intuitive and really works well. You've got a camera, 2 megapixels, it's greenish. It is those images we saw on the web. They were iPhone images. It's not a great camera. Grainy and greenish, but it
doesn't crash your camera when you try to take a picture.
That's a good point. So far, I haven't crashed the iPhone once. Then on the second row, there's three rows of four. There's YouTube. There's stocks. Interesting that they give stocks their own button. I'm not sure.
That was interesting, too.
That doesn't seem really appropriate to me.
Why do you think they did that, Merlin? Is that a usability thing to you?
Are you being serious?
Yeah,
I think it's the whole kind of Sky Mall magazine cigar golf culture.
It's a little high priority for just stocks.
If you put stocks on something, it seems like a business thing. You know what I mean? Just it's got that Sky Mall kind of feel to it.
It comes with the four stocks that are on it are Apple, which by the way was up $1.50 today. Google.
So much for all the people saying that Apple was going to tank today.
No sell off yet. Although it's not a huge growth, but still. Google down $2, and Yahoo, and, of course, AT&T.
Well, you know what's really interesting about stock prices in the last couple of days? RIM is up 25% in the last quarter.
How do they do in the last couple of days? I mean, you know, I think maybe this is good for phones. This puts a lot of attention on
I'm ready to eat my words. I think this might be good for phones. I think this is going to reinvigorate, this could potentially reinvigorate interest in the whole idea of what you can do with this, and who knows? I mean, this is going to raise the bar, but it's also going to make people just become more, look at it this way, it's going to make people more aware of the stuff you can do with a phone that they may not be thinking about right now.
Well, and I think it's really important, and I know you've been saying this, Scott, and I think others, and certainly Steve Jobs, this isn't a phone. This is a portable computer.
Exactly.
And I think it's very significant in that regard. This is a very, they've solved the issue of how do you get something this small and yet have usability, and I think they've actually really figured that out.
Well, and I think one of the things is that it the phone really answers what all of us kept on saying we wanted in a phone. So we had, you know, the closest that we were just talking about this today in the office, and the closest we could get, a lot of us could get, was like the Trio or or, you know, something that's kind of in that vicinity of we wanted to do all of the stuff with the phone, and it was all of this kind of poor facsimile of what we really thought in our head. And the iPhone is by far, it's not the answer. It's not everything we ever wanted, but it is, you know, so much
it's
further,
light
closer
years
to what,
ahead. Yeah.
And all of us had imagined it, you know, we'd all thought about it. And I think that's what gets people so excited, is that, that it was what was in their head. It was what they wanted to see, and no one seemed to be willing to give it to them. And I think it's a pretty exciting one when I actually can, you know,
I'm actually going to say this is better than I thought it would be. It's more exciting, and it's much clearer how this changes computing. This is portable computing. To continue on, there's maps, not GPS. And you know, I talked to a guy in line who's all excited about the GPS functionality of the phone, and I had to disabuse him. I said,
oh, no.
You know, there's maps, but it's Google Maps. You have to enter in the start and the end, and it will tell you turn by turn, but you have to go next, next, next. You have to navigate yourself.
I really think that's going to be one of the things we see in the next phone.
Didn't daunt him. He was there in an RV with his wife and daughter, and the three of them... The three of them all have iPhones now. Following maps, weather, and you know, you may think that's trivial, but I think weather is very important, and it's a beautiful weather application. Interesting, it's a Yahoo widget, and I think this is actually very important. This is the same widget functionally as you get on the Yahoo desktop, the Yahoo widgets. And and since we know that they're just JavaScript and CSS, there's no reason why I think you could see a whole lot of widgets programmed that way. I think if they do open the platform, this is where you're really going to see some growth. This is a Yahoo widget. It's got the little info thing on the right corner, flips it around. It says powered by Yahoo. It's a Yahoo widget.
So that's interesting. I wonder how Google felt about that.
Yeah, interesting. Yahoo's all over this phone. You know, Yahoo Mail is really best supported by the phone. It's a Google Yahoo phone. I remember when they announced it, they had both Yahoo and Google on stage with them.
Well, the big question for me is, are they going to eventually support Flash? If you go to a Flash site, do you get anything? Do you get an error
no,
message?
You get what you would get if you went with a non-Flash browser. Sorry, we don't support this. I went to twit.tv, which uses a Flash player, and it just said... Of course, we degrade gracefully on twit.tv. It looks, it says, oh, you don't have Flash. If you had Flash, you'd see a player here. That's what
let me throw a little tidbit that could or could not be relevant and could or could not be interesting. But the aforementioned iPhone Developers Conference has been graciously hosted by and sponsored by Adobe.
Oh, Apollo, you think?
It's going to be at the 601 Townsend Old Macromedia Building,
yeah,
down the street from my condo. Well,
if I weren't working tomorrow, I'd be there. I think that's going to be a very interesting
place. It's July 6th through 8th, Leo.
Maybe it'll support Cold Fusion. That'll be sweet.
Let me look at my iPhone calendar to see what I'm doing. Cold Fusion.
So the point is that you got to wonder, you know, why is Adobe sponsoring an iPhone Developers Conference when it doesn't presently run Flash?
Yeah. Maybe I'll come on the 6th. Is there anything going on that Friday?
There's a thing. We're sponsoring it. So it's 6th, 7th, and 8th.
The 7th and 8th I'm working, obviously, but I'll come down for the 6th. Next row, the third row of four, clock. Very nice clock, by the way, with a stopwatch, timer, alarm.
And that's something you can actually use on a cell phone.
Yeah, because it knows what time it is. It thinks I'm in Cupertino, but it knows what time it is. I'm sure I'll be able to fix that. Calculator, pretty standard. It doesn't look like any financial functions or additional functions. At least I don't see any menu for that. It's a traditional calculator. Hey, but it's for the first time your calculator on your phone is actually like a real calculator, you know, with the keys where
you know,
expect
but it. No linear algebra. Linear algebra. No conversion. That's kind of a deal breaker for me. I don't like having to do my own.
I would love
plotting.
It if it had a little bit more sophisticated calculator. This is the same calculator that came with the Finder 1.0. I mean, it would be nice to have a little more. It has a notepad, very nice notepad. I wish it turned sideways. Don't understand that. Can't
yeah,
figure
that's,
that out.
That is the weirdest thing to me. It's just, it's one of those things you got to ask yourself, did they just miss this or is there something that we don't know?
Yeah. Well, you know they're going to do updates. There's a lot of room to grow here.
All we got to do is plug it in through iTunes like you do your iPod.
And I think job one was to get a solid feature set out the door that was very reliable. It's clear that Jobs wants, at least in these first few months, this phone to be rock solid. And I understand that. I think that makes sense. People are watching very closely.
You hear they're giving away one to every Apple employee.
Isn't that nice? $12 million worth of phones. Of course, that's how much he made in Ratatouille in the first 10 minutes, so I guess it's... I'm surprised there's no Ratatouille trailer on here, actually.
I was surprised that there wasn't some kind of tie-in, given that they're both being launched at the same time.
Then there's a settings button. Very intuitive, very straightforward. There's an airplane mode right away. Just turn off all the wireless. It found my Wi-Fi access point quickly, and I was able to log in. You know, you've got wallpaper. You've got sounds. You've got a lot of configuration capabilities. It's very straightforward. Then the bottom row, which is kind of... By the way, there is now a blank row of four where four icons could go. There's nothing there. And I have to think that we're going to see Yahoo widgets or something like that.
That's a powerful piece of real estate to take into a business development discussion.
No.
To go,
you want row four?
If you lived here, you'd be home now.
Yep. No kidding. I think you might have hit the nail on the head. That might be exactly what they're up to, Merlin. Bottom row is the main functionality: phone, mail, Safari, and iPod. The browser's fantastic. Just beautiful.
You like it better than Blazor, huh?
Yeah.
And really?
You will too. No, I'm not kidding.
Oh, I think fondue forks in the eyes would be better than Blazor.
Well, there are browsers. The Nokia browser is based on the same basic technology, but the key is this pinch, and the using the finger to move around. You really see the value of this when you start playing with the touch screen, frankly. So here I'm on a site with Flash, and I just get that, you know, Flash object, the Lego piece with a question mark on it. It says, can't play it. Don't know what it is.
The thing that I think is interesting about that is that the, you know, if hopefully for, I think it's more important for Adobe, in fact, that Apple supports Flash than it is for Apple.
You bet.
Yeah, have that conversation, Alex, because that's your take on that. I thought it's brilliant.
Well, the thing is that we already have some people that we work with that called me and said, well, how do we get Flash off our website? You know, they see iPhone users as their main or as a very large constituency for it, and they just want to get the Flash off of it. I mean, it's not that important to them, and they want to move it off. The other thing that we're seeing is if you open up Apple TV, the thing you're looking at is, you know, all the new YouTube stuff is all H.264. In fact, YouTube has said that they're going to move all of their library to H.264. And now they're not getting rid of the Flash, but they're making everything available in H.264 by the fall. Chances are, if they're going that far down the path, when eventually YouTube starts providing you HD content, which I think is inevitable, I think we're going to see that being H.264. It's much more efficient than using Flash for, you know, larger sized images.
But it's not interactive in the way that Flash is it?
QuickTime can...
Well, you could use Flash for a player still, but have the video encoded in H.264.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? Couldn't you do that, Alex?
Yep.
And then don't forget,
and
there's Microsoft Silverlight. There is competition, and it may
The issue you get into, though, is that if Apple only sells a couple hundred thousand phones, it's no big deal. If Apple sells 15 or 20 million phones over the next year or two, it becomes a real issue if it's not supporting them. People are not going to because this is a very interesting market. This is a market of people who spend a lot of money on stuff, little stuff that, you know, a lot of people don't spend money on. That's the kind of market that you want to be in. And the question is will people use that technology if it won't run on that phone? And I think that's it's an interesting, you know, situation.
There's obviously a lot more to this than meets the eye. I mean, they could have put Flash in here, right?
Well, I think that's the issue. I mean, the question is, this is a really, it depends on how Apple plays it, but it seems like a great opportunity for the QuickTime development team to really press forward. You
Which
know,
is
they don't
ironic because they've kind of let that interactivity feature, they've kind of let that go. They've really seen it as a video playback device.
Yeah, but they spent a lot of time, you know, and I can't get into it too much but at WWDC there was a lot of discussions related to, you know, adding interactivity to QuickTime and how to do that next and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of interest that Apple has. I think everyone is clear that interactive video is something that within the next, you know, 12 to 18 months is going to be a really big deal. And so I think everyone, including Apple and Microsoft and Adobe, are paying attention to it.
I have to say, I mean, this is it's what we're seeing. It's obvious is a baby taking its first steps that has huge potential for growth in a lot of different directions. It's a pretty impressive baby, too.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that it was 9 months ago today that we first started talking about the iPhone.
Oh, aren't you sweet? Yeah, you're good, boo, you boo, boo.
It's your boo-boo.
Yeah, boo-boo, you.
It was just a glint in Scott's
eye. My baby is born.
I like the iPod functionality. I tell you, it's pretty nice. People are going to really like this, I think.
Horizontal cover flow is the bomb.
Yeah.
Have you had anyone call you while you're watching anything?
Not yet. I've only had one call, Alex. It was you.
Should I call you so you can see what it does?
Sure. Let me start a movie. Should I start a movie?
Yeah, because Kendra said Kenji called Kendra, and Kendra said she was sitting there watching a movie, and the movie stopped, and the phone call came in, and she was able to answer it and talk to Kenji, and then go back to watching the movie. It was pretty seamless.
Yeah, I've got Battlestar Galactica episode 3. I've got it playing. Yeah, you got my number. Go ahead and call me. Let me turn the phone volume up here.
This is giving me chills.
Battlestar Galactica is starting.
It's just hope nobody calls me.
You know what? I don't
you
have
called
your
the wrong phone, dude.
I don't have your new number.
That's my Nokia ringing over there. I just sent you an email with a new number.
I just keep on staring at my phone and just keeps on saying activate iPhone.
Oh no.
Connect to iTunes.
I have to say that the screen is so good that the iTunes video of Battlestar Galactica I downloaded doesn't look so hot. I'm going to need to upgrade to. I can't remember if I downloaded this before or after the upgrade. I mean, it's okay, and I'll tell you, it's very. You could sit with it in your lap and watch TV. I mean, it looks. You watch the video; it looks good. In fact, it looks good enough that you kind of get drawn into it as if it's, a real experience, even at arm's length.
I think I'm going to have to put my iPod with video on eBay tomorrow.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The only issue is 8 gigs.
Well, see, it's interesting, Leo. I have a 40 gig iPod with video, but I only have about 8 gigs on it, so
right.
It works out to be just about fine.
I got a lot of
video.
Which service did you get?
Which service? What? Who?
What service did you get? Did you just keep the exact same service, or which of those services?
So here's how the plans work. Actually, that's good. I'm glad.
That's a good discussion.
If you have an existing phone plan, somebody calling me.
Hey.
I'm just going to listen to the marimba for a while. Let me answer that. It stopped the movie and answered the phone. All right. Let me put you on speakerphone there. Ahoy, hoy.
Hello there. I have a very special offer for you tonight.
Where is the shoot this person button? Now, is this your home phone?
I'm calling you from my Trio.
Okay,
so it might sound really old school.
So I'm going to press contacts. And let's see if I can add this. No, I guess I don't know. See, I have to learn all these little things. There's some buttons on here, but I don't know. I could add a call.
Go ahead and hang up. Maybe it'll prompt you like on the Trio.
Oh, that it said, would you like to add this person? No, but for some reason it went to voicemail. I have a lot to learn, obviously.
Well, this is obviously, Leo, there's going to be some changes in habit you're going to have to make. From now on, whenever you hang up a call, you'll have to go to voicemail.
Have to flick it.
I think you'll find in time that this will be a behavior that's very
it's
natural.
It's a better way to go.
Give it a couple days.
It came pretty well charged, so I only charged it for a little bit, but I better charge it some more, because I'm going to want to play with this all night long.
I really like to try to find those people we interviewed yesterday at the... Merlin and I went interviewing for MacBreak yesterday.
Interviewing.
So that turned out pretty well.
I like the way it turned out. I mean, I was being asinine as usual, but the first guy in line, I saw him in lots of interviews. I heard him on the radio this morning.
You know, the people in line 2 or 3 days earlier were just publicity sluts. That's all.
Are you going to name names?
Yeah, we know who are. They know who I'm talking about.
Well, the funny thing is the guy that was in the front of the line in San Francisco, he said, we got here at 10 o'clock. The we was a big word because I saw the other guy, the other guy that's in the video.
Yeah.
I saw him come there and there wasn't anyone with him. And he was getting all set up. So
we
he's like the
people.
Guy that worked for the guy and he set up and he was the guy that wouldn't talk to us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I have to say the experience, and Dane was with me, the experience of line sitting was really kind of interesting. Now, I actually didn't come down to San Francisco, go to Palo Alto because I had some funny feelings about that. I thought if you're a journalist, it's kind of starts to cross the line when you start acting like a fanboy in public. I try to do that only on MacBreak Weekly. No, I think that I was reluctant to be. Oh yeah, I'm so excited! I got to get my iPhone. I had to wait in line because I had to have the iPhone for tomorrow's radio show, but I didn't want to do it too publicly.
So you needed it for professional reasons.
I did.
The mayor of Philadelphia, yeah. Did you see him queued up?
Kind of made a mistake, though. Did you see that guy in a mohawk walks up, said, Mr. Mayor, what are you doing sitting here when there's 200 murders this year in Philadelphia already?
Ouch.
And the mayor got up, left the line, and his aide stayed there.
You're not going to fix that with a pinch.
No. However, I think he probably got his phone. The irony is the line sitters, I think many of us knew, you know, we could go tomorrow and get a phone. We could walk in, no line, and get a phone. That wasn't the point. There was a sense of community there that was very interesting. I sat next to a kid, a sophomore in high school. I was going into sophomore in high school. I was about 15 or 16 years old. He went to the cash machine, took his life savings out. He had it in cash. I saw him do it to get this iPhone. And he was really excited about it. And it was a neat thing to kind of watch this kid get this. His friends were there. His buddies were there with him. Actually, one of his buddies made $20. Another guy came up and said, can I have your place in line? And he sold it. So it actually worked out quite well for him. There was a woman sitting to my left who was just a self-confessed gadgeteer. I mean, just a gadget holic. She said, I haven't bought anything since January. I'm saving myself for the iPhone. She called her husband and said, honey, you've got to, she just found out, I have to download 7.3. She called her husband and said, get the latest iTunes right now. He said, well, I don't understand how to do that. He was a rancher. She walked him through downloading iTunes 7.3. He calls back, says, it says to restart. What should I? She said, restart. She wants to walk in the door and plug that thing in and have it be. She doesn't have time to download iTunes.
She's the alpha geek.
She was great. It was really fun. There was a guy from Google.
We need
Google
to mention that, Leo, that you know, many people are unaware that you do need to download iTunes 7.3 for this to work.
And 10.4.10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I got 7.3, and then I got it this morning thinking, well, I'll be ahead of the game, so when I get my iPhone. And then, of course, I got here, and it said, no, you need 10.4.10 as well. So you need both of those.
You activate through it. In fact, you can just walk into the store, buy a phone pretty much. Did they ask for any information when you at the Apple store? They did at the Singular, at the AT&T store. They wanted to know, you know, a little credit information. So it's easier at the Apple store. That's why they were able to handle people so fast.
Well, it's easier to walk out with it. I'm still waiting for my activation.
Well,
right?
But then, that's right. You have to go through a credit check and stuff, and that was actually much faster for me. It didn't take any time.
Right.
I'm getting some email, Leo, here. Sorry, breaking news that from various AT&T stores in New York City that they were allotted 60 units each and all sold out.
That's what we heard from our store. They had 15 4 gigs and 45 8 gigs. And they did, in fact, sell out. So it's the Apple stores that had hundreds and did not sell out. So
I'm guessing that if Apple still has any at the San Francisco store, they had at least 1,000 because they're going to move 1,000.
Yeah.
You know,
easily.
Well, the line went clear around the block, almost doubling on itself.
If you want one of these, you probably should go to the Apple store 9 in the morning tomorrow because, according to Denise Howell, who was sitting at home to order, the Apple store came online at 6 p.m. and her order was processed 11 minutes later. Shipping estimated 2 to 4 weeks from today.
Ouch.
Plus, she installed 7.3 and had all sorts of trouble. Now, I didn't have any trouble, but she said iTunes 7.3 will not save my iTunes library anymore. She had a downgrade. The Apple Care support guy I worked with said he was seeing this problem with 7.3 reported all over the message boards today. So maybe there's some issues with 7.3 if you don't have an iPhone or you don't plan to get one right away. You might want to wait.
I do think that if you're not dying to have an iPhone, waiting until the middle or end of next week would probably be a good idea. I think a lot of the stuff is, you know, the kind of stuff that we're having right now with the activation and everything else is just coming from this huge horde of people, you know, gucking up the system.
Well, remember when the iTunes went to the high-res songs and, you know, it took forever for it to check your library? It's one of those kinds of things.
The other thing that I'm a little disappointed with, the headphone jack is highly recessed and will not work without an adapter for most of my headphones.
Really?
Yeah.
So my which headphones won't work?
None of them. The ER6s, the Edemotics, the
really?
The Ultimate Ears. You have to get, now Apple sells an adapter, but you might want to consider getting that adapter. It's too recessed. You can't get the thing down far enough.
What is up with that?
That does seem like a dumb idea.
Very upsetting.
Certainly.
Is there an adapter for that?
Apple sells one apparently, but it doesn't.
Sure. You know what? You know what? You know, adapter I'm going to use. It's going to be like a knife. just going to cut some of that rubber around my 8.6.
It ain't, right. That's actually a good idea. Just rubber. You could trim the phones down. Yeah,
you just trim the, if you just trim that little rubber around the phones, it'll work just fine.
I'm looking.
Yeah, I'm not taking a knife to my iPhone, Alex. Sorry.
There's a reason,
it's not
by
to the
way.
iPhone. It's to the headphones.
Okay.
You might want to use your Apple headphones because, you know, they're not, it's a three-ring jack. That's probably one of the reasons that it doesn't fit, so that you can, you know, pick up phone calls by squeezing your headphones.
That's true. I just wish. See, now the problem is you're going to have to talk to Ultimate Ears or someone like that to make ones that are like that. But
why change the standard? You know.
Well, yeah.
It is. I do like the squeeze thing, and so my question is, you know, is somebody going to come out with a really nice music quality headphone that still does the squeeze thing?
Because I have to admit, now that I have these ones that go way into my ears, you know, I have the Ultimate Ear ones, and then I also have the Shure ones. And when I'm used to those, I can't even imagine going back to these crappy little headphones.
It makes a big difference, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to wear the Apple earbuds, but I guess I'm going to have to. They're also uncomfortable.
They're really, yeah.
And they don't come, wait a minute, where's my, they don't, oh man, they don't come with those little fuzzy muff things that make it, that's the only thing that keep them in my ear.
Oh, like. Can't have the fuzzy muff things.
You don't like fuzzy muff things?
No, I don't like them. They're just too big, and then it hurts my ears.
These are rubber.
I have very sensitive ears.
Yeah, I know you do.
Except I have these. Except I have those Shure ones that go like baby. Almost all the way into my.
Very sensitive ears.
Yeah. They're very, very sensitive.
Well, you know, and I noticed Alex spends a lot of time putting headphones in and out of his ears.
Yeah,
he does. As do we all.
Yeah, but it takes him a little longer.
Oh, you know.
What do you enjoy? Are you saying he enjoys it more? Oh, wait a minute. I get little mini Apple stickers in here. That's good. They haven't
get
changed
stickers with anything you buy.
They haven't changed that, but they're little ones. Not that.
Really?
Well, they're little.
That much.
They're not this. They used to get, like, you'd get a big one and a little one. Now it's just two little ones. Because it has to fit in this nice box. Don't you like that box?
Box was nice.
The box is cool, and a lot of people won't even notice that the box has the cloth thing and all that stuff in it.
No, you have to kind of work your way through it to find all that
stuff. The box is really heavy. Did you notice the box is like...
It is.
It's really
industrial. I think we've got to wrap this up because we've pretty much...
We're talking
about the box. We're in bad shape.
Huge nerds.
We had to do it. We're excited, and I don't have anything else to be excited about.
The
I'm
box.
Still waiting for my freaking phone.
Horizon's
fall.
Has this been painful for you, Merlin?
No, I'm enjoying this. I think I have been this is partly my own fault, but I've been slightly mischaracterized. I have nothing against the iPhone as a thing, although I have said I hate the iPhone and want it to die.
Hype you hated, not the phone itself.
Well, the word hype, even it's the slathering, self-reproducing lust for scarcity. That seems so ridiculous to me. I'm seeing my friends now on Flickr who literally like went to get a drink and then just walked in and bought an iPhone.
I've talked to a number of people who did that.
And it's just so funny. It's like, well, you know, why do you have to have it today? Like, what is it, you know, about that first day? And I do understand there's things that I've wanted, but it's a beautiful, beautiful device. I imagine I will buy one sometime, but
there's some juju here.
Yeah, there's something. I thought we saw it with the iPod. I thought we'd seen it with other things, but this has just been handled so masterfully. And, you know, I am certainly one of the greatest of the Apple flying monkeys out there spreading the word. But it's been really amazing to watch how people will take just the tiniest little bit of non-information and it makes them even more excited.
I was stunned to watch people trope into this store and lay down their credit cards and spend $600 or $700 without blinking an eye.
Some of them were like 13-year-old kids.
There was no question. It was like, yes, whatever, of course. Nobody bought the 4 gig. Everybody bought.
You know, I stood in line when I heard that Merlin was going to be in Time Magazine to get the first copy.
Was that right?
Merlin's in Time Magazine?
Merlin is in Time Magazine.
I'm almost certainly going to buy one.
What'd you do? Wait a minute.
Okay, listen, I had to stab a guy. I had to cut him.
Okay.
And... he was giving my wife the stink eye.
He had it coming.
I put it between a couple ribs. I showed him a little bit of lesson. And now he knows how to respect a lady.
Congratulations, Merlin.
I am almost definitely going to get one because you saw me at Macworld. I was very excited about this. This looks to me like the distillation of a lot of what Apple has learned as a company about a lot of what makes Apple interesting.
I would agree with you. And I think it's a new direction for Apple and for handheld devices. That I think that's what's really significant. But I also think that, oh, look, I'm getting a text message. I'm sorry. I got distracted by the beautiful object on my desk. I also think you're, and I'm giving this advice to most people, you're wise. There's no reason you have to have the first one. Yeah. There's plenty of time to think about it. You can get it next week, the week after. There's not going to be a short supply. And I think there'll be a second generation and third and fourth.
And what's
precious.
That thing?
It's my precious. Don't be my precious.
They call it the 6 month rule. That idea that if you can wait 6 months after the release, I'm going to mangle this, but it's along the lines of saying if you can wait 6 months after the first release of a product, try and wait because almost certainly the product will improve and the prices will go down. At the same time, if you could benefit immediately from having that, you know, like if you've got a broken phone or whatever in this case,
right?
Yeah, go ahead and give it a shot. But it's been really interesting. As somebody who's not as emotionally engaged as some other folks, it's been fun and interesting to watch. A little frustrating sometimes, but I really think they've done a hell of a job with this. Down to giving people sunscreen while they're waiting in line. It's just they're getting it. They get how to treat their customers. And I think
that's the stuff that I really was impressed with, Merlin, right there. Sunscreen, water, Starbucks, lots of guys coming out giving you information.
And so what are they doing this though? They're doing this with and just to extend the thought just a tiny bit, like what is it that we all know about things like phone companies? Phone companies, you know, they don't need your business. They don't care. The way that I've been treated by phone companies is like, you know, I'm not even a number. You know, you get treated so badly. And now they make an entry into this area, and understandably, they're not the phone company. But you take something that's been completely commodified, turned into the most kind of generic, you know, it's like buying toilet paper to buy a phone nowadays. And they find some way to add that zest and personality to that. And I think that's really remarkable.
I just have to say that, you know, walking into a Verizon store is just one of the worst experiences that I have on any time that it actually happens. And I'm a Verizon customer. You know, every time I walk in, I go...
I have the same experience at Sprint. Every time I go to Sprint, I feel like
Everybody does. And Singular AT&T is no better, though. I mean, I have to say that this same store that I just spent 6 hours in front of waiting to get into, I had rejected out of hand. My last experience with them was so god-awful, I actually canceled my Singular account.
But it was interesting, the device itself and what you felt, what the...
The question is this going to change the company or is this a one-time... I mean, look, the Cold Stone ice cream place next door brought us ice cream. I mean, it doesn't mean that AT&T is a newly invented store.
Well, but I think the question is that 2 years into this, if AT&T isn't taking care of the customers, you know, how far will Apple take this? I mean, will they just say, well, you know, we could become our own provider? You know, which I think they could.
I don't know how, you know, USA Today says they have a 5-year deal. You've said even longer, I think, Scott Bourne.
No, I confirmed five. Okay. It is five.
I don't know how easy it is to get out of that, but.
How easy it is? You just have the money that Apple has to throw at lawyers and say, I want to quit. So any contract can be broken. But, you know, here's the thing. One of the things I found, you know, trying to think more, you know, sophisticated about this like a Merlin Mann might, I'm trying to say, okay, now why is it there are 400, 500 people in front of the Apple store and a couple of dozen in front of the AT&T store a block away?
Good point.
It says a whole lot about how the customers feel about their relationship with Apple and how trepidatious they might be about starting one with AT&T. And everyone knows, it's heard me talk about this, from day one I've said that's what's made me nervous, what's going to happen with AT&T. And, you know, the jury's out. I will say that I was impressed by the pricing plans. They could have done some gouging, $20.
We didn't finish it.
$20 data plan for existing customers is exactly what they already charge. And if ever you were going to gouge, now would be the time to do it.
It's unlimited. So if you have an existing plan, you continue with your existing plan and unlimited iPhone data and 200 SMS messages for $20.
And you're getting a new kind of data you couldn't get before in the visual voicemail.
Yeah.
I have to say my plan actually went down by $45 a month.
Yeah, and we did an analysis of it, Leah. We looked at all the similarly situated phones in the same class. And when you look at total cost to operate over 2 years, they're in the ballpark of about $200 a month, give or take 10 here or there. In my opinion, the people who are buying this class of phone aren't going to make a decision on $8 or $10 or $12 a month. So they're all about the same. The iPhone's a little more expensive up front to acquire, but they really all come in at around $200 a month. And so I think the price is a little misunderstood in that regard. The plans, though, they could have really gouged us. So I'm hoping that this is a first step on their part to say, yeah, we really want to be, you know, more like Apple.
Right. Well, we'll see. I think that there's no reason for AT&T not to be jumping for joy today. They had the biggest day they've ever had. There's no doubt about that. And they have a lot of new customers. Apple, too, is probably celebrating a pretty big payday, if not from sales of iPhones, from AT&T, who must have paid them a pretty penny for this five-year deal. And I think for those of us who've played with it now, and it's early yet, and I'm certainly going to give you a more thorough review in the weeks to come, but it's pretty clear that this is a device that is more important than just another new phone. And Apple's done a good job. We're going to wrap this up. I will thank you all for being here on a late night on a Friday. I know you're dying to go activate your phone, so go do it. Except for you, Merlin, man, back to work.
I'm going to watch The Wire.
Merlin, themerlinshow.com, and of course, 43folders.com. Scott Bourne is, I'm sure, ready to crank out another Apple phone show. Now's when it gets serious. At applephoneshow.com. When's your next episode?
Coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be all about the actual phone now.
Yeah, now it changes.
Now there's a lot to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be subscribing on the phone. And, of course, from the Pixel Core, Alex Lindsay, who is still waiting for his phone to activate.
I'm hoping by July 4th, it'll be working.
PixelCore.com, of course, $50 for the entire summer if you want to learn everything there is to know about creating 2 and 3D images and working in television and doing podcasting. It's all there at PixelCore.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another Mac Break is broke.